We're going to turn in our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. We're going to be reading from verse 10 to 17. Matthew 13, verse 10. Bear in mind, verse 9 is the conclusion of the parable of the sower. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath, or that he hath. Therefore, I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Amen. We'll end there, and the Lord will bless the reading of that portion of his word. Now, I must confess to you right at the beginning, tonight, this morning's message is a message that is really trying to explain what these verses mean. And I have to confess that until a mere few weeks ago, I was totally wrong on my understanding of these verses. Totally wrong. I thought that these verses taught something that was a very strange contradiction. I thought that these verses taught that Jesus taught in parables an earthly story with a spiritual or heavenly meaning so that the people would not understand, and that only his disciples who had this special knowledge would understand. I thought until 2 weeks ago that parables were to make it hard, according to this passage, make it hard for ordinary people to understand so that they would not get converted, verse 15. After studying the passage properly and reading the Puritans, I have to admit that I was so wrong in that interpretation. So wrong. These verses, the way I was interpreting them as a contradiction to Jesus Christ's whole ministry. It's not a view that I thought up on my own. American Presbyterians in the late 1800s came up with it. But anyway, looking at these verses, I was missing something very, very obvious in the passage. The section, verses 10 to 17, actually teaches the very opposite of what I had thought before. Now, this morning I'm going to give you 3 points, and they're these. Number one, we're going to exegete or look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Second point, we're going to look at the question and the answer of the question that the disciples asked and the answer that Jesus gives in verses 10 to 13 of Matthew 13. And thirdly, we'll finish with, why did Jesus speak in parables, verses 14 and 15. But let's come to the first point. The exposition of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Now you might ask, why on earth are we studying what it says in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 11? When we're meant to be studying Matthew 13. A very easy answer to that. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, it is Isaiah chapter 6 that Jesus Christ is quoting in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew. And he's quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, as the reason why he, Jesus Christ, speaks in parables in New Testament times. So we need to understand Isaiah chapter 6, 9 to 11. So let's read it. Bearing in mind, when you look at verse 8, the context. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses be without a man, and the land be utterly desolate. Note the context of Isaiah chapter 6, which Jesus quotes. The context is Isaiah's calling and commissioning as a prophet. The passage where he sees this vision of God as, between sitting on the throne and his glory. And he feels so sinful. And then he's cleansed with the coal from off the altar. And then God says, whom will I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah volunteers and he says, here am I, send me. The commissioning of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah volunteers, verse 8, to preach for God to Israel. However, notice what God tells Isaiah the effect his preaching will have on the people of Israel. Verse 9. They will not understand nor perceive. Verse 10. Their heart is made fat, their ears heavy, their eyes shut, lest they basically get converted. Note, see in that verse, their heart made fat, their ears made heavy, their eyes shut. That is a Hebrew verb in all three cases, which is called a hifel, a hifel. Tense verb. And that means it is a causative. The preaching would cause the people who heard it to be indolent, deaf to God's message, and blind to the truth. So in other words, the curse of God was upon Israel, so that the means of grace, which was Isaiah's preaching, The effect of it would be to further harden these people, and they would not be converted by it. Now you may ask the question, why? Because in Isaiah's day, and also, by the way, in Jeremiah's day, who followed on from Isaiah, you find the same thing. Isaiah is being commissioned here, and he's being told right at the beginning, before he starts his ministry, by the way, Isaiah, your ministry is not going to work. The people aren't going to change. Jeremiah is told the exact same thing in Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 17 and 18 and Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 16. In that passage, actually, God says to Jeremiah about the same people, don't pray for this people anymore, because they've had it. You see, in Isaiah's day, as in Jeremiah's day, the Jews had went too far. God had given them over to judgment, knowing they would not repent. So therefore, God's ordained effect of Isaiah and Jeremiah's preaching, generally speaking, God's ordained effect was that that preaching would harden and further make rebellious the sinful people. The people would become more and more heavy in heart and deaf to the truth and blind to God's message. We see a similar thing in the New Testament where Paul the Apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us that the word that we preach is a savour of life to some and a savour of death to others. Listen to one commentator on Isaiah. Listen to what he says about these verses. What's the insight from what Isaiah is being told here? What's the insight? Simply this. Every time you hear the word of God preached, you come away from that exposure to his truth either a little closer to God or a little further away from God. Either more softened toward God or more hardened. The apostle thought of his ministry as the aroma of Christ. To some people, the fragrance came across as a fragrance of life, and to others, it was the stench of death. 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. Now, note what it says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses be without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Isaiah says, Lord, I'm going to preach and they're going to get harder and harder. How long is this going to go on? And the Lord basically says, until the total destruction of Israel. That's how long. Now I suggest to you that in the light of Jesus Christ's words in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 to 15, that the effects of God's curse on Israel since the days of Isaiah are still in effect on the New Testament Jews in Jesus Christ's time. And they still do not understand the message. That curse would only be lifted through the New Covenant Gospel. Note, by the way, and it's very important to note this, Isaiah was told this at the start of his ministry, the effect that it was going to have. Note that Isaiah did not make his message complicated so that people would not understand it. In fact, Isaiah made his message so simple that he was accused of being a teacher of kindergarten by his enemies. Let me give you a quote from this commentator. It's the last one I'll be reading. Listen to what he says. Because Isaiah knew that his message wasn't going to have an effect, didn't mean he made it complicated or obscured it or tried to hide the message from people. He made it even simpler. Listen to what the commentator says. How did Isaiah obey God? According to the criticism levelled at Isaiah in chapter 28 and verses 9 and 10, Isaiah taught with such simplicity and clarity that the sophisticates of his day scorned him as fit only to conduct a kindergarten, children's class. It is clear that Isaiah did not understand his commission as one to blind people by obscure messages, obscurity of expression, and complexity of message. He, in fact, faced the preacher's dilemma. If the hearers are resistant to the truth, the only recourse is to tell them the truth yet again more clearly than before. End of quote. Now, so Isaiah, what did he do in the light of his commission? He knew God had said the effect of your message, they're not going to receive it, generally speaking. He preached even simpler. Even simpler. Now we come to the second point. The question and answer in Matthew's Gospel on chapter 13. The question and answer, verses 10 to 13. Let me read them again now. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore, I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. The disciples say, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? The crowds, the multitudes. By the way, what is a parable? You know what the word for parable means? The word for parable means a figure or a comparison or an example or illustration. The term I've already given you that's the cliche word, but it's right. An earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. Let me give you a quote from the Greek dictionary of what a parable is. Quote, the simplest form of speech. End of quote. The simplest form. The easiest to understand. End of quote. So the disciples are coming and saying, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? That basically means, Lord, why do you speak to the crowd so simply? And Jesus answers in verse 11. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Because it is given to you, 11 or 12 disciples, to know, the Greek word means to understand, the mysteries of the kingdom. See that Greek word for mysteries? You know what it means? Quote, things not obvious. It is given to you, disciples, to understand things not obvious about the kingdom of heaven, doctrine of the kingdom of heaven, but, and it's the but of contradiction, but to them it is not given. They cannot understand things that are not obvious. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Isn't that, brethren, exactly what happens if you keep teaching the same thing to a group or a class of people, a classroom of people? What the Lord says in verse 12 is exactly what happens, isn't it? Those who understand, those who get the basics, they learn more and more and more, don't they? Those that don't understand the basics get totally lost and end up knowing nothing and not even listening. We know this. I know this from experience in secondary school in mathematics. First, second, third year, I used to be great at maths. And then we came to fourth year, and you had to do maths. And we started doing pi and all that stuff, and multiplying and dividing and fractions. And I didn't understand it at all. I got lost. And then as the class went on and on and on, I couldn't follow any of it. And that was a waste of 2 years. And see, by the end of 2 years of not understanding the basics of what they were now talking about, I knew less than what I did when I first started. This is what happens in life. Verse 13. Therefore, says Jesus, I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Therefore, says Jesus, that is why I am speaking unto them in parables, the simplest form of communication, because they don't understand as you do. It hasn't been given to them. It's been given to you to understand things not obvious, but it hasn't been given to them. They don't see what you see. They don't hear what you hear. And that's why I speak to them so, so simply in parables. That's what the Lord's saying, isn't it? It is given to you, disciples. You have been trained by the Son of God himself for 3 years. It's given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. It's given to you to understand the things that are not obvious, but not to them. Therefore, I speak as simply to them as humanly possible. That's the first 2 points. Number one, Isaiah 6. Number two, the question and the answer. Number three, why does Jesus speak in parables? And why don't this people understand? That's verses 14 to 17. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. They don't understand because they are just like the people in Isaiah's day, says Jesus. Indeed, Isaiah's prophecy is continuing on, is fulfilled even in these people. The same ignorance is still upon these Jewish people. And Jesus, in verse 15, then quotes the same curse from Isaiah as still being in effect. But knowing, he quotes it knowing that under the new covenant gospel, that curse or that blindness will begin to be lifted. And knowing that these people are like that under this curse, like Isaiah's day, what does the Lord do? How does he preach? Does he make the message more complicated so they won't understand? No. He does just the opposite. He speaks in parables. A form of speech so simple that even a child can understand. They cannot understand the mystery. Sure they can't, says the Lord Jesus. They can't understand the things not obvious. So Jesus brings it down to their level and speaks simply as he can for the purpose that people would understand. That's why they don't understand, says Jesus, and that's why I speak to them in parables, to help them to understand. Notice, please, and this was a key thing for me in understanding the passage, because I used to think that the Lord was actually saying verse 14 and 15 about this people in his day and pronouncing this curse upon them. He's not. Notice, please, that Jesus Christ does not say in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, as I used to think, I am going to bring the curse of Isaiah 6 upon these people and make their hearts gross and their ears dull and their eyes closed so that they do not understand. No, he doesn't say that at all. The Lord is quotes from Isaiah 6, God's curse upon Israel, as the reason why he speaks in parables in the New Testament. The simplest form of speech. I am speaking unto them in parables because they are this way. And because they don't understand things not obvious. And that's the reason why I speak in parables, says Jesus. See, parables were not meant to confuse and blind people to the truth. No, the Lord used parables because the people were already confused and blinded to the truth. So our Lord, our compassionate Lord Jesus, brings the truth right down to simplicity and presents it to them in story form to these poor, heavy-hearted, blind, deaf sinners. Just like he did with you and me. Do you remember being brought up in church? Everyone wasn't brought up in church, I know that, but some people were. I remember being brought up in church as a child and a teenager. And I remember sometimes listening to the sermons, and sometimes I almost grasped anything that was being said. Most of the time, I didn't understand any of it. That was the truth. I remember being confused and the whole thing being hard for me to understand. I remember that. Until one day when I was about 23, 24 years old, I heard a preacher who preached, Sam Workman, who preached so simply and interestingly. And I understood clearly when he preached. That's God's revelation as well, don't get me wrong, but it's something to do with the preaching too. And my friend and brother, who's now in glory, Sam Workman, brought God's great truth right down so that even a long-haired lout like I was could understand. And he sat beside me sometimes in the pew over a 2-week period, every night where he was preaching at the mission, and talk with me. And he brought it right down that even I could understand it. And that, friends, is simply why Jesus spoke in parables. Because those poor people, like those in Isaiah's day, had gross hearts and dull hearing and closed eyes. So he came and he taught in parables, like Isaiah taught simply too. He came and taught in parables, but the Lord did more than Isaiah, because he opened ears that were deaf, and he loosed tongues that were dumb, and he opened blinded eyes by the truth and by his power. And we know this from the Gospels, don't we? Doesn't it say, if the Lord... The way I used to interpret this is a load of rubbish. This is the right interpretation. The way I used to interpret it contradicted Christ's ministry, as if he was trying to obscure the message by parables from people. What a load of baloney. We know from the rest of the Gospels that it says, quote, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority, and not as the scribes. How did the scribes teach? You need to read some of them if you want to know how the scribes taught in a way that was complicated and deep and scholarly and with no authority at all. And the Lord didn't teach like them. And the people understood him. Indeed, doesn't it say that the Pharisees were jealous because the common people heard him gladly? He preached that the common people could understand. 5,000 men plus women and children, and 4,000 men plus women and children, didn't follow Jesus 3 days into the wilderness without food to eat, to listen to sermons that they hadn't a clue what he was talking about and couldn't understand. They went out there because they could understand, or being fed by the Lord. He preached simply because he wanted converts. He invited people that were weary and heavy laden to come to him. His message was in no way obscure, but very, very clear, because he taught in parables. And Jesus had compassion on people. He saw them as a ripe harvest needing to be reaped and brought in. He wasn't trying to obscure the message. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus came on that little foal, that coat of an ass, over the last brow of the hill, and the city of Jerusalem came into view in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when it says he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. And he wept because he saw the AD 70 and the trench cast round about by the Romans and the destruction of this people. Are these the words of a man that wants to deliberately obscure the truth from people? Not a bit of it. In Matthew chapter 23, when he's finished his last message in the temple in Jerusalem, when he cries and says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen, would I have gathered thy children together as a hen does gather her chickens under her wings, but you would not. And behold, your house, the house of God, the temple, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And you shall not see me again till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. These are not the words nor tears of a man who was obscuring the truth from sinners. No, they are the words of the God-man who did his best, humanly speaking, to bring God's words simply, even so that children could understand the gospel. He spoke in parables, the simplest form of teaching and speaking that is possible in human language, because they couldn't understand doctrine. They couldn't understand things not plain. So he spoke in parables to reach them. I conclude. 3 points. Number one, the exposition of Isaiah 6. Number two, the question and the answer. Why do you speak in parables? Because they don't understand things not plain. And three, why did Jesus speak in parables? Why did they not understand? Because the same ignorance and blindness from Isaiah's day was still upon this people, entering into New Testament times, and Jesus was going to break through that darkness with the New Testament gospel and reach these people. The lesson. And only one lesson. That's why I've spent all the time trying to convince you this is the right interpretation. But there's only one lesson that I can take from this. I could probably bring up more, but it'd be long enough. It is never the preacher's job to obscure the message of the gospel. To obscure means to cover over, doesn't it? To hide, to not make plain. It's never the preacher's message to obscure the message. Preachers must preach to be understood at the level of the hearer, because it's no use at all if they don't understand it. It's no use if it's too much for them to take in. It's no use if they can't grasp it. It's no use at all. In some circumstances, yes, God might have sovereignly ordained that a people have gone too far, and he's given them over to judgment. But even in that circumstance, which we still can't be sure of 100%, but even in that circumstance, that is God's prerogative, isn't it? And he will make the message have a hardening effect. But like Isaiah, and like Jesus Christ more so, the preacher must strive to make the message simple to understand, even in that circumstance. The preacher must never obscure the message. That is not the preacher's place, nor the preacher's prerogative. And the simple message is of the gospel for any listening who don't know it. We are born in sin, rebellion against God. We don't want to go in God's way. We are naturally against him. God is holy. We cannot ever get to heaven if we remain in our sin. God has given a remedy for sin, that sinners can be forgiven, in the sending of his only son to die on a cross as a sacrifice in the place of sinners who believe in him. He being punished, his blood shed as the penalty, the price, he died that those that trust in him will not die for their sins eternally. Forgiveness is through faith or trust in Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And that is the only way for sinners to get to heaven. That is the plain message of the gospel. Jesus taught in parables. Why did he do that? He did it so that ordinary, blind, deaf people could understand. We must do the same. Thank you for your attention, and amen. God bless.